Before we start, Mark and I would like to ask for your help and about 5 minutes of your time. We've been providing free weekly podcasts for about 10 years now, and we want to add more to that experience. And to fund those improvements, we have, after a lot of deliberation, decided to accept select sponsors for the show. And we want to make sure that we get the right sponsors that have products and services that you're interested in. Would you take a quick survey for us, please? Just go to podsurvey.com/career to complete the survey. It'll only take about 5 minutes. It's completely anonymous, and your answer is going to help us find the sponsor that is well-matched to you, your interest, and the show. And when you're finished, you can enter a monthly drawing to win a $100 Amazon gift card. Even if you've taken the podcast listener survey before, we'd like to ask you to take ours. That will help us and really help support the show. So don't forget that you have a chance to win the $100 gift card. Once again, just go to podsurvey.com/career. podsurvey.com/CAREER. As always, thank you for your support and helping us continue to bring all this great content to you absolutely free every week. Thanks, everyone. Welcome to Career Tools. Be on time. Here we go. So, Wendy, we're going to talk about being on time, which seems kind of self-evident, but I think a lot of young professionals, meaning new to the workforce, don't really understand the impact of not being on time and what it says about you and says about what you think about others.
Yeah. And originally we were thinking about putting this in First Job Fundamentals as a series for people who are just coming out of college and going into their first job. But the evidence is everybody's late for everything. Well, not quite, but a lot of people are late for calls, they're late for meetings, they're late when they meet you in person, they're late for everything apart from aeroplanes, it seems. And so we decided to put it in the feed and everybody can hear it.
I know, I'm more often late than I would like to be. And at least I have the good sense to feel bad about it when I'm late, doesn't excuse the act, the behavior. But okay, so being on time to a meeting doesn't seem really hard, right? You get a meeting at 9, and as long as you're around there, 9-ish is okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, somewhere between 5:02 and 5 past-ish.
Yeah,
maybe. No, exactly.
So on time means being on time. Okay, so what are we going to talk about today?
We're going to talk about on time is late, be early, and build relationships. Because it's career tools. It always comes down to relationships.
So on time is late. Okay, you're going to have to explain that one to me.
Yeah. So on time, if you think, I've got this meeting, it's at 9, I'll get there about 9-ish, you're bound to be there at like 3-4 minutes past. And that's definitely late. But even if you get there on the dot of 9 and you walk through the door, you've got to get some coffee, sit down, find your place, find the agenda out of the pile of things you have in your hand. You've got to find your notebook and put a new page and write the name of the meeting down. And it's still 5 past before you're actually ready to do any work. Even though being in there at 9 is on time, because you're not able to start work, you're still not on time, so you're going to be early.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, if I often find if I think about the meeting as being at 9, right, that's what I'm thinking as I'm getting ready, then I will most certainly be late.
Yeah, it's easy done. And just because it looks like nobody is taking any notice of what time you get to in the thing doesn't mean that they're not taking any notice. I think everybody's boss and probably everybody's peers can tell you whether somebody is an early person, an on-time person, or a late person. Because invariably, we're not just late to one thing. If we're a late person and we tend to be late for everything.
Yeah, even if you're not in the same location as your boss, just, in conference calls and all that kind of stuff, you still develop a reputation, right? And that's what we're talking about here is reputation.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you're late to meetings, you probably return your emails slowly. You probably return phone calls slowly.
You probably miss deadlines when it comes to your work products.
Exactly. So there's all sorts of things that it affects. And there are some different, if you're interested in the psychology, we have different models of time in our heads. There are some people that think of it as elastic and some people who don't think of it as elastic. And the people who think of it as elastic think, oh, I'll just do one more thing. I'll just do one more thing before I leave. And they're the people who are nearly always late because that one more thing takes too long. But it doesn't really matter what's going on in your head because on time is late. Like, but there's a standard and the workplace is working to that standard no matter what is in your head.
Right. So go on. So tell me more about on time is late. So if the meeting's at 9 o'clock and I show up right at 9 o'clock, I'm late. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you're late. It's not the arrival time that matters. It's not the time you get there. It's the time you start work. And if you walk through the door at 9, there's no way you're starting work at 9. It can't be done. And if you're on a conference call and it started at 10 and you get on at 10:01, people would say, well, I guess that's on time. But it's not, because the roll call has to be called, and that's usually done a minute before you start so that you can actually start at 10 o'clock. And so you've already caused this meeting, this conference call, to be 2 minutes late. And 2 minutes sounds like nothing at all, unless you think there's 10 people on that call and they're all paid $60,000 a year. That's $8 for each person. And it really adds up really quick. If you look at the amount of money that's wasted by time wasting in companies. And that's why people, you know, at Google, they have a countdown clock in the room, in the meeting rooms, for that reason.
You know, a lot of us, you know, those of us who sometimes are late, we've all been in meetings where we're ready to go and somebody shows up a couple minutes late. And internally, we may not say it, but internally we're going like, oh, really? Dude, seriously? And the worst thing is where the meeting facilitator believes that she needs to, if somebody arrives 5 minutes late, recap what happened in the last 5 minutes, which is just another, like, dude, really?
Yeah. Now we've just wasted another 3 minutes, right? It goes so quickly. So in order to be on time, you need to think ahead. So you need to think about, what time do I need to be in the conference room in order to start at 10? And you need to include the things that you're going to do, that you need to be ready, not just the walk over there, but the rest of the stuff. So things like, I need a fresh cup of coffee, I need my notebook, I need a pen that works, I need the materials, I need the stuff that I was sent in advance for this meeting, I need it printed out, I might want to go to the bathroom. Like, all of those things, that's probably 10 minutes worth of things. So for this 10 o'clock meeting, now you need to start preparing at 1:45, because it's going to take you 10 minutes to do all those things. And then you want to be 5 minutes early to the meeting, because then you're not late. And even if the conference room is 3 steps away, you know, if you're in one of those open plan offices and there's a conference room and you can see it from your desk and it's not very far away, it still takes 5 minutes to get to the conference room. I don't know why. But there is something, you cannot magically be in one place and in another place without it taking some time. And for some reason, it always takes 5 minutes.
Yeah. If you're walking down to the conference room and Joe from accounting stops you and has a quick question and it takes you a minute and a half and you're therefore a minute and a half late, like, it's not Joe's problem. It's your problem, right? You have to account for those kind of things. That's why we keep kind of saying, if on time is late, you have to account for those things. You can't, it's, you know, if you're traveling 10 miles, and of course you're thinking about traffic and accidents and all that kind of stuff. Well, that kind of stuff, those little sidetracks on the way to the conference room, that's just 100 feet down the hall, similar things can happen.
Often if you work in a big office and there's a definite start time, you notice that the people who live closest are usually late. The people who live further away are usually early, because they have to have such a big margin in order to make sure that they arrive on time, you know, for traffic and things like that, that you've just said. And people who live close tend to cut it more close, or think that they can stop on the way for some cash or something. And then they tend to be the ones who are 5-10 minutes late. So there is something about being close to your destination. And of course, conference calls on the phone, you're right there. The closer you are, the more likely you are to be late.
Yeah, so a good rule of thumb, no matter how close you are, it's going to take you 5 minutes. It could be the office right next door to yours. It's going to take you 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's weird, but it's true.
Now, what are some of the things we can do to prevent being late? I see folks routinely scheduling back-to-back meetings. Let's say they're an hour long each. Yeah, that's stupid, but we don't need to go into that. It's an hour long each. They're back-to-back, and they're in separate buildings. I mean, that's a recipe for disaster.
And I learned this the hard way. I worked on a campus where there were 8 buildings, and one of them was up a steep hill. And I used to have interviews, and I'd have 3 interviews, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, and 10 o'clock. You usually catch up some time, and you usually finish about 10 to on the last one. So that means I've got 10 minutes to get to wherever I'm supposed to be going. And then I would have another interview booked somewhere else in a different building for 11 o'clock. And in theory, I've got 10 minutes to get there. But of course, the hiring manager wants to find out what's going to happen next. And I have to listen to my voicemails and return some calls on the way. And I need to shuffle all the paper to make sure that I've got these candidates' resumes on the top. I wasn't late, but it was really close. And after about a couple of weeks, I was like, why am I always nearly late? And then I was like, oh. Yeah, you can't actually magically get from one building to the other in no minutes. You know, it looks okay on the calendar because I finish here at 10:02 and I start there at 11. But the calendar doesn't take account of all the things you have to do in between.
That's right. So you have a couple choices, right? You can schedule the meetings differently. You can suggest to the person running the meeting that maybe it ought to be a 50-minute meeting or a 45-minute meeting versus an hour meeting. If you're running the meetings, of course, you can change that on your own. If you're not, then you might have to exert some influence, right? So that's one thing you could do.
Even if you're the most junior person in the room, you're obviously required for that meeting and your attention is required. So it's not a bad thing to ask a more senior person, like, can we start this at 15:15 or 1:30 or 1:45 or whatever it is you need in order to be in the next place.
Right. So you can ask the time be changed. Now, what if what if you can't? There's an hour meeting here, an hour meeting there. There's no way you are going to make both on time. So what do you do then?
It's pretty rare that you would, if you're someone fairly junior, that you would have 2 meetings with people senior enough to be able to say, no, I'm not changing the time for you. And so you just pick the one that's got the most lowest level people in it and you try and change that one first. You don't go for the one with, you know, the CEO in the room. You try and change the one which is you and your peers, and your manager pops in every now and again. That one you're much more likely to be able to change. So it's just a question of picking your battles.
Right. And, you know, and even if you can't get the meeting changed, if you need 10 minutes to get to your second meeting, then simply go up to the person prior to the meeting. So if you show up 5 or 10 minutes early, you have an opportunity to do this, right? Being on time is being late, like we said. So show up 10 minutes early, find the person who's running the meeting, tell them you have a conflict, and ask if you can excuse yourself 10 minutes early. And 90% of the time, they'll say, fine, no problem, right? So even if you can't get the whole meeting change, you can get permission to leave. And exactly. My experience is last 10 minutes of the meeting is generally not all that productive anyway. So you're probably not missing anything.
That's true. So conference calls, that's what we've done, meetings in person, but conference calls, you want to dial into a conference call at least 5 minutes early. So you want to set your calendar or your alarm so it rings at 15:55, not at 10 o'clock, because the day you try and sign on to a conference call at 10 o'clock and it's like 10 o'clock and 1 second, so you're not technically late yet, your computer won't work, Skype won't connect, GoToMeeting will be having a futz, and you will be late. You'll have to reboot your machine and that will take ages. It's just Murphy's Law.
That's right. You got to go to a meeting and you've got to reinstall the widget because you're using a different browser or it expired or something. Happens more often than one would imagine.
Exactly. quickly. And things like bridge calls, we have a standard bridge here at Manager Tools. So whenever we say, let's meet on the bridge, it's always the same phone number. And in my cell phone, I have the phone number and the PIN number in the same thing. But if I'm going to be on my phone, I can't look at the PIN at the same time because it's by my ear. So then I have to write it down on a spare piece of paper somewhere. And that all takes a few minutes. And if you're doing it fast because you know you're likely to be late, more likely it is to go wrong.
Exactly. You don't use commas in your phone numbers?
No.
Oh, okay. After this call, we need to get together. I'll show you how to solve that particular problem.
Well, thank you. I'm glad there is one. And every time you say, I'm sorry, I couldn't get connected, or I'm sorry, my computer wasn't working, or I'm sorry, I got held up, people are judging you. They might not say anything. They might say, oh, that's fine, don't worry. Happens to me too. But believe me, they're judging you, and they're making a call about your professionalism based on whether or not you can be in the right place at the right time with the right information.
Right. And you can't see, I couldn't get connected. It's not my fault.
And if you're a long way ahead of a conference call, you know, if you have the half hour beforehand, you can dial in at like 1:45 and just have it on your headset and be doing other things.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, that's the best way to do it, because then you don't have to deal with any of the problems close to the time, which is usually stressful.
Right. When you're traveling to somewhere new, say a new customer or supplier or some other site you've never been to before, boy, the number of things that can go wrong go up immensely. I was just going somewhere the other day and I plugged in the address thinking, well, I'll plug in my GPS and I'm good to go. And I kept getting back a message that it didn't recognize the address. And this was a real address. But it wouldn't plot it. So
that's so frustrating. Yeah. And the other thing you don't take account of, people don't take account of, because it's obvious, but for some reason it doesn't occur to us, is that if you're going somewhere, you're going to have to find somewhere to park. And if it's somewhere new, you know, you don't know the layout and you don't know if there's visitors parking or if, because you're arriving at 10:30, you're going to be like right in the far corner of the car park and there's, you know, a million cars to walk past. And if you're a visitor, you're going to have to be signed in and they're going to have to find someone to escort you to the room that you're supposed to be in, or you're going to have to work out how to get there yourself. And those things aren't covered by Google. On GPS, clever as it is, it doesn't say you will be arriving in the conference room at 10:10 when you're supposed to be there at 11. But you look at it and it says you'll be there in time, and you're like, excellent.
Yeah, the next release of Maps or something. That's Apple Maps,
yeah,
or Google.
They need to do that.
Absolutely, they're going to start mapping out every building, every conference room. All the restrooms. It'll be pretty awesome. You'll click transit and it will guide you the entire way.
Have you noticed that in the supermarkets, Google tells you which aisle is where in the supermarket now?
I have not noticed that.
So now you can navigate straight to milk, but not necessarily to a conference room.
Good to know. I guess I'd have to go shopping every once in a while to do that. That's why I don't have food. All right. So our next point. So it's not enough just to be on time. You're going to suggest to us that we actually show up early. There's good reasons to do so.
Exactly. And we've talked about some of the things that get in our way between the time we think we're going to get somewhere and the time we actually get somewhere. So, for instance, if you are starting work and you have to be there at 9 and you think, oh, it's all right, I'll be there at like 2:02. But you forget the time where you have to get into the building, you have to say hi to the person in security, and then you have to get in the elevator, and it's busy because it's 9:00 and there's a bunch of people there who are also late and harried. And then you get into your floor and you have to go say hi to everybody and you have to get a cup of coffee, and then you get to your computer and switch it on, and by then it's like 9:10. If you're only sitting down at your desk at 9, you might still think I'm on time, but you're not getting any points for being early. You're not losing points because you're not late, but you're not getting any points for being early.
I think that's a good point. I think a lot of, again, this cast was originally written for those that are kind of new to the professional workplace. that being on time, number one, I think a lot of folks who are relatively new to the workplace believe that walking in the main building at 9 o'clock constitutes being on time, if in fact you're supposed to be there at nine, right? That's really not being at work on time. At work means at your desk, ready to work. And if you need coffee, you've gotten your coffee. It doesn't mean, you know, you're walking in the front doors. It means ready to work.
It does. And it's the same for if you're working at home, because it's really easy when you don't have a commute at all to be late. It falls into that the closer you are, the more likely you are to be late rule. And if your workplace is just a room away, it's amazing how easy it is to be late.
Yeah. It's interesting, these, I mean, points, if you will. I mean, there we just made this the idea of points up in our heads. But the fact is, people are judging. They're thinking about you as a professional. And if you're a new professional, you just don't want to start off your career or your job with people going like, yeah, he's a pretty good dude, but man, just can't be on time. Versus a person who's always at their desk, ready to work when it's time to work. Ready to go. That just gives a feeling of leaning forward, right? Of being ready to attack the day versus being lackadaisical about it.
Exactly. And then people start wondering what else you're lackadaisical about.
That's the problem, right? What are the other conclusions they're drawing? What are the other inferences from that conclusion?
There is one way you can be late. And we use this example in the Effective Manager course when people go to the conference, which is a guy is late to a meeting with customers, but he has these amazing ideas that the customer loves. And so after the meeting, the manager is asked to give feedback. And a lot of people want to give negative feedback based on the fact that he's late. But the answer, the right answer, I'm going to give it away. All the people that are going to go, Daniel will be like, why does everybody know the answer? But the answer is to give positive feedback based on the ideas. And in workplaces, if you're the person who's making the company shed loads of money, who has the best ideas, who comes up with something completely creative that changes everything, then you can be late because you're racking up points on the other side, on the ideas side, and so you can afford a few tardy points.
Yeah, well, if you're a rocket star and you're the most productive, smartest, best communicator in the entire company, and you're the person that can you're the Steve Jobs, you can do whatever you want, and yeah, it doesn't matter, you're gold, then fine. If you're that person, if you're Steve Jobs or Bill Gates, you can be, I'm telling you right now, you can be late to any meeting you want to, and I won't say a word. Yeah, you get a pass, but if you're listening, you're probably not Bill Gates, and you're probably not Steve Jobs. Well, we know you're not Steve Jobs, that's for sure, but you're probably not Bill Gates, so Wendy, you're right, but very few people like that.
Yeah. I can think of one that I've met in the entire time I've been working.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Not many of them. And we talked about the conclusions people draw about if you're lackadaisical with coming in the morning, the other things that people start to think about. So there's deadlines and quarterly updates and replying to emails and replying to phone calls and all of the other things that have a deadline or a time span which is acceptable. People start to wonder and look for evidence that you're lackadaisical with those things as well. So if you want to be early and getting the early points, then all of those things you can be early on too. It's not just a case of getting to work every day at 8:45. Then once you've got that, you've got to like start building on it. And you've got to start being early for the things that are your work product as well.
And it's interesting about the definition of being on time. When an executive shows up on time to a meeting, right, it's not just that they're sitting down in their seat at the time of the meeting, right? They've got everything they need to do. They've prepared. They've thought through the meeting. They know the objectives. They've thought through what's important, what's not important. They've done their research. They are prepared, right? So for an effective executive, being on time includes all of that. It means having all their documents with them, having reviewed them all, right? It's not just about being in their seat at the appointed time. And somebody like that who shows up, who's ready to go and has all their stuff at their fingertips, they impress people. People say, wow, she's good, right?
Yeah, I know why they promoted her.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. So being early demonstrates enthusiasm, competence, and a respect for other people's time. And those are things that you want to do all throughout. No matter where you are in your career, you can always improve your standing in those areas. And being on time, being early is one of those ways you do it.
Absolutely. Well, okay, so let's get to our third point. And for me, this is my favorite point of all. This is the golden nugget in this entire thing, particularly those who come from, you know, a technical environment or accounting or the less people-oriented people, we'd say, like me, okay, is if you're early to a meeting, this is the time when you get to do the thing that you are probably least effective at, which is building relationships, that those all-important relationships. And if you had to pick some people to have relationships with, wouldn't you pick the people with whom you regularly attend meetings? I mean, that seems like pretty much a non-brainer.
Yeah, of course you would, because those are the people that have input on your input to other people about you. They're the people who say, oh yeah, I worked with him on that project. I wouldn't, no, don't, because he couldn't be on time to his own funeral. You don't want that reputation, and those things are the things that go before you, and they're the level with which people judge you, so that they decide whether you get the important project, whether you get to do the thing that you want to do, or you end up doing the thing that you don't want to do.
They judge you not only on whether you show up in time or not, but assuming you show up on time, which means showing up early, then what do you do with that time? Do you show up early? Say you're 10 minutes early. You walk over to the back corner of where the meeting's being held. You sit down, you throw up your laptop, and you sit there and do email for the next 10 minutes.
Yeah, because that's being productive.
Everybody else around you is talking, conversing, talking about the weekend. They might be talking about non-work related stuff, but you're the hard worker. You're the hard charger. You're the one sitting in the back corner actually working. And you think you're getting points for being a hard worker.
And you're really not. Like, well, you might get like 5 points for being a hard worker, but you get 50 for building relationships if you talk to those people. So even if it's just your team, even if it's people you see every day, you've still got this little opportunity, this little time span where you can talk about things that you maybe don't get to talk about when you're working together, when you're sitting next to each other at a desk and you're both working. So things like ask how their evening was, ask how their kids are, if you've heard them talking about a recital or a play or something, ask how it went. If you know that somebody is sick in their family, ask after them, ask after, you know, how's the house building going? Or even if none of those things pop to mind and there's no sort of key for you to get into the conversation with, just sports, like how was the game last night? Even if you don't watch it, a sports fan, or if you say how was the game last night, they'll tell you. You know, they'll carry on the conversation and you can say, well, how does that fit into the whole season? And do you think so-and-so will be any good? And it can be a random team that you've heard of, but that's what people value, because people value conversation with other people that is about things that interest them. And if it's someone you don't know, then you can introduce yourself and ask introductory questions like, who do you work for, or which building do you work in, or what do you do? If you don't know someone, those are very normal questions to ask in a work setting.
Right. And you can do this even on conference calls, right? I mean, there's generally people dialing early and there's a bunch of chatter going on at the beginning of conference call. And depending upon the meeting, could be a great way to meet some executives if you don't know them already.
That's right. Yeah, and there could be some really senior people, and you probably don't want to ask the CEO who he works for. You probably want to know his name before the call, or her name. But actually, senior people tend to have got there because they have learned some grace in conversations and some smoothing skills, so that if you ask that question, they'll just laugh and say the board or the shareholders. They usually have a way of kind of making that easier for you.
That's right. And I'm sure we have podcasts on attending meetings, and, you know, suffice it to say, knowing who's going to be attending the meeting prior to the meeting is one of those kind steps of to, about, you know, getting prepared.
Yeah. And you probably, on those calls, because you can't see someone and you don't know them, you probably don't want to ask about their personal life. You don't want to ask about the kids and stuff. But you can say, you know, I see everyone's really excited about the launch of this product. Looks like it's going to be a winner. It doesn't even have to be a question. It can be a statement. And it gives you a way in to the conversation. And now you're not some anonymous voice that nobody knows who you are or where you fit. You're the guy who noticed that product X was going to be a winner.
That's right. Yeah. And the fact that you're thinking that and saying that, you don't think the executive who's responsible for that product wants people to be excited about it? I mean, they're proud of it. They want people to be excited about it. And a simple little comment like the one you said right then is more impactful than you probably believe. Because no executive launching a new product isn't worried about what the results are going to be and wants people leaning forward into it, you know?
Yeah. So we usually do a summary at the end of the podcast, but I want to do something different. I have a blog post which I read. It was published in 2013, and I think I probably read it then. And it's a really good summary of what we've been talking about. There's only three paragraphs, and the last one has a really good idea for making being on time important. So it was written by the editor of the Oklahoma Child Support Enhancement Association. So in an article in Entrepreneur, Russ McCammon says, we decide not to be on time, and it is always a decision. And the message isn't, I'm too busy. The message is, I don't respect this meeting enough. I don't respect the people waiting for me. And I don't respect them enough to do the easiest thing in the world, just show up. In the same way, I'm triple booked just says, I can't manage my time and priorities, not I'm so important. Worse, lateness breaks down trust, and that does the opposite of what we're always asking you to do, build relationships. One of my favorite ways to look at this, and I can't remember where I first read it, is to ask yourself, what would a Navy SEAL do? Do you think they're late for meetings? Do you think they have donuts? Do they have an agenda? And do they finish on time? Oh yeah. Be in middle school again and pretend you're a Navy SEAL going to every meeting this week. What difference does that make to whether or not you're late? It's awesome, isn't it?
That is
I've
nice.
Kept it in my mind. And every now and again, when I'm having an off day, I'm like, would a Navy SEAL do this? And it works every time.
There you go. Cool. Thanks, Wendy. That's awesome.
You're welcome. Bye, everyone.
See ya. Thanks, everyone. That's it. We'll see you next week. In the meantime, have a great one. So long.
Career Tools produces actionable guidance for professionals every week. To receive additional materials via our newsletter and to find products for situations you may face, go to www.managertools.com. Search for Career Tools on Twitter and LinkedIn.